morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this beautiful Lord's Day morning. We're so glad to see you wonderful people here in the Lord's house. It's always encouraging to come to this place and see you folks who are seeking the Almighty God, His work in your life, and to praise our Lord and Savior Jesus. Thank you for being here. May you be blessed as we worship together. I want to share as we begin the service this morning from Psalms 24. A few verses reads like this. The earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands, and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessings from the Lord, the righteous from the God of his salvation. This is a generation of them that seek him and seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. That's what I believe you're here to see, Almighty God, in your life. Let's praise him for it.
For him worship this morning, we're going to use number 64, saying the first and third verse, and Jerry will have her prayer. That's all stand.
Glory, great things he hath done.
So love ye the world that he gave us his Son. Do ye know his life, the atonement for sin, and of man the life that all may go in. Praise the Lord,
praise the Lord.
Communion hymn using number 153. Sing the first and fourth verse.
Alas, and in my Savior be, and in my sovereign night, would he
eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him.
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, as we come to the most important part of our worship service, the whole service is important, we know that, but the most important is as we come around the Lord's table and we're reminded of your wonderful and great love that you demonstrated through your Son, Jesus, his willingness and his love for mankind to come and lay down his life for us, shed his blood there at Calvary, Heavenly Father, that we might be cleansed from all unrighteousness and made right to be able to enjoy eternal life with you and your Son. So, Heavenly Father, as we come around this table and partake of these emblems, we're reminded of the great sacrifice at Calvary. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be mindful of the penalty that was paid in our stead there. Help us to be grateful, Heavenly Father, for what Jesus has done. It is his name that we praise you and thank you. Amen. Okay, once again, it's always good to see you in the Lord's house. We welcome you, and we see some folks come in that we haven't greeted, and we're greetings to you this morning. Good to see you in the Lord's house. No birthdays today, Bible study tonight. Okay, that's about all that we have in the announcement way. As we look at our prayer list, we have still have a great number of people on our prayer list, and we encourage you week by week to be mindful of them, to have this in some place where that you can go over these names and recognize the needs in their lives and pray for them for that special need. Oftentimes we don't know what the need is, and so we know that God does. So we pray that the Lord will just have his way, have his will in their lives and meet the special needs that is needed in those people's lives. We do know that several of our folks, we do know what's going on in their lives, so we can pray for those needs in that way. We are very saddened. Pauline was with us this morning as we started our Bible class, and she became ill, and they had to take her home. So we pray that she will be all right. Things will go well with her. And then we look around, and we see some of our folks who are missing this morning. Dudo and Peggy, I think they took the grandson home, and I think Amy is changing churches and so forth and moving and such, and so they're in helping to do that, I think, or taking the grandson home. So they're traveling, and Mike and Donna are vacationing this weekend, and so we pray that they have a good, safe time and a good time. And who else are we missing? But we're so glad that you're here, and we're so glad that you are seeking the Lord, and you have come to praise him and to give thanks for his goodness. And we do pray that the Lord will bless you in a great and wonderful way, give you direction in the whatever need that you are in need of, and help you with those things that you'll be faced with this coming week. That's a good thing to do, is come in preparing for that. We also, I won't go over the list, but I meant to mention last week, and I forgot to ask Jerry this week. Jerry's brother, they thought they got all the cancer, but now they think they get just a little bit left, and they're going to work on that and maybe and so forth and see how that goes. So we pray that that will be taken care of. And so several of our people that we have on our prayer list have operations and such, and so be in prayer for them. Gosh, I mean, we could spend a long time here talking about the needs here, but we've shared with you, and you folks share with me any special needs in these people's lives. Also help us to know and what's happening in their lives and good things, because we want to praise the Lord for that and so forth. And then also, if you notice on their bulletin there that our dear friend Del McMahon passed away this week. Del has had a really tough time, and that man has been operated on and so forth, and he has done well, but he has passed away, and Vi is not well, and so pray that the Lord will strengthen them and bless that family during this time. He will be laid out tomorrow for visitation from 10:30 till 12:30. The funeral then will be at 12:30 at Wilson Tucker Funeral Home in Georgetown. So be in prayer for them, assist them in any way you can. our country, our nation. You know, I have some good feelings about things that are taking place in our nation, even though that there's a lot of things that are in an uproar and so forth. But I kind of feel good about some of the things that are taking place and some of the talks they're having with some of the other nations and so forth. That, you know, I think the Lord's turning things around a little bit for us. And I think that we're going to see some things happening that some people just didn't believe that would be happening. And so continue to pray for President Trump and Pence. I mean, whoever's in the leadership, I mean, it doesn't make a difference. I mean, the president and the vice president, and all those congressmen and so forth, pray for them that, you know, that the Lord will touch them and they will recognize the need of his help to guide this country in a great way for his people, for you people. For those in the care home, keep them in your mind, keep them in your hearts, and do what you can for them. As we come to our prayer time, let's be very, very thankful that we're able to be here, that we're blessed as we are, we have what we have, and are able to do what we do, and just be grateful for that. Let's come to our prayer time.
For prayer hymn, we're going to use number 196, sing the first and the fourth verse instead of the fifth. That's all I'm saying.
And obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
But we never hear the delight of his love until all on the altar we lay.
No other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Father, we join in him. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his death. We thank you for the privilege we have to get in your house to study and hear your word. We come now and ask for strength to provide and all of our main family. Also, we ask for a healing touch on Pauline, everyone on the prayer list. We ask for safety for our men and women in the service. Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' name.
Invitation to hymn number 331, and now the choir will bring the special.
Thank you, Kathleen and choir. Thank you very much. Very special number there. What a day it's going to be when we all meet together on the shores of eternity. Great, great. I hope that we will all meet together there. Amen. Book of Daniel, chapter 6. We've been camped out there for a while. We've got one more message coming out of there next week, and then we're going to move on. Next week, we'll be talking about belonging to a kingdom that never ends, and we want you to be a part of that. That's for sure. God wants you to be a part of that. This morning, we're talking about a visit to the lion's den. Bear with me as I read a good portion of this, beginning with verse 7. And we know here from the past weeks, we know that there has been this jealousy and this conniving between the under rulers of the, or under governors and so forth, that they're jealous of Daniel and they just want to get rid of him. And they connive with the king to do that. Verse 7, and the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days shall save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which alter not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, his window open, being open to the chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees and three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spoke and before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days shall of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. And these men assembled to the king and said, O king, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and they cast him in the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, and he purpose might not be changed according to concerning Daniel. Then the king went in his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went with from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the lion's den. And when he come to the den, he cried with a loud with a lamentation voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel, has shut the lion's mouth, that they not hurt me. For as much as therefore him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. There was a king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den, and no matter hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought these men which had accused Daniel, and cast them into the den of lions, them and their children and their wives, and the lions had a mastery of them, and broke all their bones in pieces, and ever that came into the bottom of the den. And the king Darius wrote unto the people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even until the end. He delivered and rescued and worketh signs and wonders in heaven and earth, and he hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. The book of Daniel was written to encourage people. And I believe that it's written to us today to encourage us. It was written to encourage the people of that day against the oppression that they had there. It was written against those who persecuted them. And this day we're living in now, many people probably are not noticing that, but there's a lot of persecution going on today. And we are to be comforted with that, with this book. And I think Daniel is trying to do that with this book. The very thing that Daniel has faced with in his day, we are faced with today. And that is with prayer. Oh, it really wasn't to do with prayer. And you know, I really don't think that it's really to do with prayer today that we're having all this turmoil with it. It's what's behind. It's a front to do something else. And that's really what it was here. It wasn't really that they were against prayer. They were against Daniel. And they were conniving to find something against Daniel to accuse him to be able to then to take him down. They wanted to impeach him. They wanted to get rid of him. They did not want this Jewish man now. And he is man of great age. He is 80 plus years old at this reading right here. And he is in high position. God has given him wisdom to be able to rule and reign and to be in a position he is. And for the kings to recognize that. And they just don't like this Jewish guy from Jerusalem being there. They think, you know, probably some of the Persians and here and the Medos here probably that came in here with Darius out of his kingdom, they probably wanted that position. Some of the Babylonians here that was in those positions, they want that position. So they're all against Daniel. They don't want him to be there. So that's really what they're after. They're after to do Daniel in. And so they want to stop prayer. They said that's the only thing. They can find something against Daniel. So they connive with the king. They get this decree signed that, and you know, they kind of pat Darius on the back and kind of set him up and say, you know, people will look to you and they'll ask petitions to you. They'll look to you to for provisions and so forth. They'll look to you as the great one. And, you know, he kind of liked that. And so he signed a decree. And now, Daniel, what's he do? Is he going to stop praying? No. It says here that he went back to his house and did what he has done. Daniel, I believe Daniel has done this from his teenage years. He's a Jewish young man. He was a Jewish young man then, and he was in Jerusalem. He was brought up in the temple and in the worship and so forth, and his practice was as a young man and now as an old man. He continues to do what he always did, went to pray three times a day. And so he did that. They sought to stop him. So let me ask the question, what if we stop praying? Just for 30 days. What if we stopped praying? What would happen? Well, you know, I read about several places now in the high schools and in college when they were graduating here a while back that they couldn't pray, weren't allowed to pray. And even they were warned that they would be taken out if they attempted to do that. One place in Tennessee told the young man who was a valedictorian, if that's what you call it, he was the one who gave the main speech, and he had indicated he would like to have a prayer. And so the superintendent of the school said, if you attempt to pray, I'll have you taken out and even arrested. Stop prayer. So what if we stop prayer? You know, but what if we couldn't pray? You know, this would probably make your unconverted family think you have come back to your senses. You know, they will think you're normal again if you quit praying, you know. And, you know, if you quit praying, life would be a little easier maybe. You know, if you stop praying, sometimes, you know, praying gets pretty hard sometimes. You know, praying isn't always easy. And so if you quit praying, you know, life would be easier. And sometimes it just wrenches the spirit, the strength right out of the spirit and soul when you pray. I've heard of people, you know, when they come out of their prayer closet, they are just wringing wet with sweat, and the strength has gone out of them. They've been there, they have prayed so earnestly. And folks, I don't know about you, but probably you have. Haven't you been in a season of prayer sometimes, and you just so earnestly pray for that person, that thing, or whatever it is, and you just are weakened? You say, well, you're supposed to be praying for strength. That's true. But that doesn't always happen that way. You pray sometimes, and the strength just goes. Think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says of Jesus, and to me, the strongest person that ever walked this earth. And it says he prayed, and it says he almost melted down, and he just sweated drops of blood. So, you know, it's hard sometimes. So if you didn't pray, it'd be easier sometimes. And, you know, if you didn't pray, you'd have more time. Praying takes time. Praying takes time. I challenged you just here some months ago or some time back, you know, about timing yourself a time or two in your prayers. And when you do, you'll find you haven't spent too much time in prayer. But then good prayer warrior spends a lot of time in prayer. I've read in times past where pastors and preachers and so forth have got up at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning and spent 2 or 3 hours in prayer. And sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I think I ought to get up and pray a couple hours, but I don't do it. You know, but, you know, it ought to. And so, but praying does take time, you know. When you're busy, praying takes time. And you know, if you didn't pray, well, you'd have more time to, you know, to look at Facebook. Yeah. You know, you'd have more time to play games on your iPod. Yeah. You save time there. And, you know, You wouldn't be guilty of going to the restaurant and sitting down there and looking around to see who's watching to see whether you're going to pray or not if you didn't pray. It'd be easy. You'd have time. What if we didn't pray? We know from our experience what we would be missing if we didn't pray, don't we? Of all the good things that comes. But you know, that's Satan's strategy. We're talking about the governors here and the presidents. They're against Daniel. But it's really a ploy of Satan. Ever since Daniel has been brought to Babylon from Jerusalem, Satan has been trying to discredit him, to bring him down. If he could discredit Daniel, if he could make him look bad, that would look bad on his God. So he's tried everything he can. We've already talked about some ways how that Daniel has been treated and been trying to tear down. But we haven't mentioned the fact Satan is really the one that's behind that. Satan is the one that tells you, you don't have time to pray today. Satan is the one that tries to get you so busy that you forget about praying. You really want to pray, don't you? I really want to communicate with God the Father, don't you? And I shared with you how I do that and how you can do that and how that we can fulfill what Paul says, pray, continuously pray. Like he says, rejoice, rejoice always. And so I shared, and I think it was Brian, I think, shared with me as he left that day that he had a similar thing, that he has that relationship, that communication daily, all day long, you know, that you just feel the presence of God all the time with you. He's always there. He's always near. He's closer than breath, and you can always talk to him. I go out to work. I can't talk to Maxine. I guess I can get my iPod out and text her or something, but I don't do that. But, you know, but God is always there. And so you can always turn and talk to God any time that you want to. And so, but Satan tries to get you busy and to get your mind off of that and defer you from praying. He's really the one who wants to stop Daniel, and he uses this ploy. It really is that it's not the governors and the president. They're just pawns in Satan's hand. And you know, I really think when I read that book, I think about our government. You know, we elect some good people and put them into offices, high offices. And you know, the next thing you know, they're corrupt. And you know, what's going on? This is what's going on. We elect some good people, and they're good, godly people. But they're not Daniels. Satan can get to them. And Satan could get to you if you're not very, very careful. Satan just couldn't get to Daniel. Read about Daniel. Satan just couldn't get to Daniel. But he's trying. He's trying. So he uses the high officials here to wear down Daniel. And he's done this, and he tries every way he can. And if you remember in Daniel 3, in the first part of Daniel, his three friends, they were forced to make a decision. They were, I said ask, but they were actually forced. No, they weren't forced to commit. They were asked to commit a sin. And a positive sin, really. But Daniel was asked, you know, just to not pray for 30 days. And we talked about the last week, I think, you know. How easy it could have been to just not pray for 30 days. But Daniel said that wasn't the way. You know, because here's what happened. Here's sin. But sin is any lack of conformity to or transgression of the law of God. So that is, sin can happen both in omission and commission. In other words, you sin doing what God doesn't want you to do. That's transgression. You also sin in not doing what God wants you to do. Daniel didn't sin. Daniel did what God wanted him to do. And so we get caught up in that oftentimes. There is a temptation that is put before Daniel to sin, but he did not sin. Daniel did not sin either way. Daniel went right on doing what he always had done. He prayed three times a day. Daniel was obedient to his God. Jesus made it very plain that we should obey the officials, that we should pray for the kings or otherwise today, pray for our president. They are kings in other lands. And support them and so forth. But when our president, our king, or whatever you, however you want to put that, ask us to do something that is contrary to the will of God, then Jesus says, we need to do what God says to do. We need to do what God says to do. In one way, Jesus said, you know, give to Caesar what is due to Caesar and give to God what is due to God. And so we are to listen to God. And if it's different from what the government would have us do, we do not do it. We do not. David did that. David is now faced with being cast in the lion's den. And that might happen if you oppose something that the government or the rulers of the land might set forth. You might be headed for the lion's den. You might be headed for the lion's den. Daniel, you know, you say, well, why did they have a lion's den? You know, there's two reasons why they had a lion's den. And you know, God forgive me, but you know, it wouldn't be too bad if we had a lion's den, maybe. You know, really. One reason was this, that the kings liked to hunt lions. And so they had a flock of lions. And ever so often, just for sport, they'd, like fox hunting, you know, they would turn them out and just go hunt lions, and they liked to do that. Much like the Great Britons kept foxes, you know. And it's just been a while back that the Great Britain quit having their fox hunts, you know. And then also it was a way of deterrent. It was a way if a governor was pocketing more than what he should and he was shortchanging the king, then they would cast him into the lion's den. It says that it was sealed here with the ring, with the signet of the king. And there's a reason for that. Because you could at night, you know, the lion's den was under the pavement there. And it was had a place, something like what I visualize, a manhole. Had a covering. It says a stone here was put over the entrance there. And it was signet. The ring was there. That meant nobody touch it. Because here's what happened. You could kill somebody tonight in the dark of night and throw them in the lion's den and there would be no evidence of it. So it was sealed. And so it was sealed here with Daniel in there. It was sealed so that no one would be able to help Daniel out too. So there was reason to have this. You know, I would say that if we had a den of lions, and if we would get one of those drug cartels, get the leader of that, and take him and... it might kind of deter a little bit, wouldn't it? If we would take those who are killing policemen, if we would take one of those fellows who just directly shot a policeman, if we would take him and take the stone off and put him down to the lions, I kind of believe that would deter some people from... I think that's what they call capital punishment, isn't it? And I do not apologize for my belief in capital punishment. I really believe until we get something, some way, somehow, that will make people think we are not going to deter criminal activity. And that was one of the ways they did it there. The lion's den. Daniel didn't stop praying. Daniel continued to do what he had done for now 80 plus years probably. It says in verse 10 that he went into the open window and he knelt down. Now, I don't believe there is any one way to situate yourself when you pray. We stand and pray. We sit and pray. We drive and pray. We work and pray. We lie in a bed at night and pray. We pray with our heads bowed. We pray with our eyes closed. We pray with our faces up toward heaven. We pray with our eyes open. I don't think there's a specific way for us to situate ourselves to pray. I'm quite sure all of us fail, though, to do as Daniel did. When one kneels, it doesn't make one holier than one who stands and prays. But when one kneels, I believe it does show a greater reverence to God. I know I don't get on my knees enough. I pray, but I would that I would get on my knees more. They tell the Apostle Paul when he died, they said that his knees, his kneecaps was like a camel's knees. He had been on them so much that they were just calloused over so hard and so forth. And the thing of kneeling, I think, is just an extra show of reverence to God. I don't think it has anything to do with holiness because, you know, as I said, you can pray in so many different ways and you can pray with driving down the road, but don't close your eyes. But, you know, it's just, you can talk to God at any time, anyways, you know. Notice what it says about Daniel prayed. What was the first thing Daniel prayed? It says that he prayed with thanksgiving. You know, I don't know about you, but I've caught myself in times past just jumping right into my need. Just jumping right into my trouble. Said, God, this is a situation I'm in. I need your help. But you know, I find myself now like Daniel, more and more like Daniel. Not boasting, but I think it's a good practice. And I've shared this before. That the very first thing is thanksgiving. So Daniel here, it says that when he bowed to pray, I believe Daniel knew he's going for the lion's den. Yeah. I believe Daniel, when he left and went to his house before he got there and before he knelt before the window, open window there, Daniel knew he's going to end up in the lion's den. He knew that. And you'd almost think, you know, boy, he would get on his knees and say, God, I'm going to the lion's den. I'm going to need your help, God. I'm going to need your protection, God. But it says that the first thing he said, and he gave thanks. Well, what did he thank him for? I don't know. We have to guess a little bit, speculation a little bit. And it's all right to speculate a little bit, isn't it? And I think when Daniel knelt there, he probably said, oh, God, thou great one, you know, the mighty one, the creator of all things, thou who is above all, thou who knows all, thou who rules all. I think he would recognize his mightiness and so forth. And he said, I look to you, Almighty God, and I thank you that you've helped me. I thank you that you've helped me even from all the things I've faced in the past here. Ever since I left Jerusalem, you helped me. You brought me through. I thank you for that, God. I mean, he could just went on and on with all those thank you things. But then also, I think David prayed. I think the battle of the lion's den was this. I think that happened there at the open window. I really do. I think the victory in the lion's den was won there at the open window. Yeah. You know, a lot of people don't pray until they get in the lion's den. Boy, when you get in the lion's den, you got too much trouble there. And the lions will be after you. And you won't have time to pray. fighting off the lions. Pray before you get in the lion's den. Pray before you get in the lion's den. That's what Daniel was doing. I think Daniel prayed with thanksgiving. He was excited about what God had done for him and was doing for him. And he knew that God would help him. And then probably he was thanking him. I mean, don't you thank God for helping you before he helps you? I do. I thank you, God, that I know that I'm going to go through this and you're going to help me through it. I thank you, dear God, I know that you're going to give me victory in this. You know, thank you before it happens. You know, have that confidence, as we talked about Daniel having such a confidence in God. And I think when you pray, you got to have confidence in what you're praying about. If you don't have confidence in what you're praying about, if you don't have confidence God bringing about, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Well, you know the story. Daniel gets cast into the den of lions. Verse 16, Darius commands Daniel to be cast into the lion's den. Stone placed up on the mouth of the den, and the king seals it with his ring. Daniel's done for, so Satan thinks. Can't you imagine the glee of these governors and these enemies of Daniel there when they saw Daniel slide down that slide into that lion's den and that cover sealed over there and stamped with the ring? They said, "Boy, we're done with that Daniel. We're done." Well, Darius even thought so, didn't he? And then what says there? Darius thought so. I like what Darius said. I don't know whether Darius really believed what he said or not. The way he says it, I don't know that he really believed it. He must have had some thought about it. He does acknowledge God's goodness toward Daniel. In verse 16, Daniel acknowledged Daniel's faithfulness to God. He said, you know, somewhat thought of the hope for him or believed, you know. He said, this God that you serve, he'll help you. He'll help you. Darius didn't sleep. It says here he didn't sleep. He went home at night. Usually the king, they have a great big meal. Boy, they just feast every night. They have their harems come out. They have music going. They just have a bash. But it says here he went home and he didn't sleep. He didn't eat. Didn't sleep. He was really troubled because, you know, he really trusted Daniel. He really knew that Daniel was special. He knew that Daniel had a spirit that nobody else had, that others didn't have. And he knew he'd done wrong. He really knew he'd done wrong. It says something about he thought all day how he could, you know, how he could get somehow to turn Daniel loose. He kept all day. He didn't put Daniel in. When they brought him, well, they still had day left. And they didn't just throw him right in there. Darius kept him for a while. He was hoping maybe if he kept him tonight, but there would be some way that he would come up to be able to let him loose. He just was beside himself because he thought a lot of Daniel. He trusted Daniel. He believed in Daniel. He knew that Daniel served a God that helped him. And he was troubled with that. He couldn't sleep. He goes to bed, couldn't sleep. He just couldn't wait till morning. You see, I didn't think he believed what he told Daniel. I know he didn't have confidence in what he told Daniel when he said, Daniel, when he cast Daniel in the lions, he said, Daniel, your God will help you. Because he couldn't wait till morning to go to check on Daniel. See, if he had confidence in Daniel's God, he would have slept peacefully. He wouldn't have rushed up at the very break of day. He would have known that God would take care of it. You know, do you do that sometimes? Do you rush out to see if that happened? Do you rush out and see if God done what you would want him to do? Or do you go out there with confidence it's done? Many times I have gone someplace to do something or to have something done for me, and it's already done. It's already done. Having confidence in God doing things. The scripture says he goes before us. And if you have confidence in God going before you, you just walk into that thing already done. So here, he can't wait. And soon as day breaks, here comes Darius. Oh, Daniel, was your God able? So he has that doubt. Was your God able? And what did Daniel say? O King forever liver, my God is able. Our God is able to do, what is that verse, according to all things. I can't quote that right off, but it says, you know, he's able to do all that above what we imagine he can do. And he said, oh yes, King, my God is able. And he kept, and he sent an angel to close the lion's mouth, and there's no hurt on me. And why? And Daniel says, because God saw in me my looking to him, so to speak, my confidence in him. And he sent an angel to close the mouth of the lions. O King, live forever. My God has sent an angel and has shut the mouths of the lions. They haven't hurt me for as much as before him, innocency was found. What Daniel's saying, I do what God wants me to do. I do what God says to do. And I'm innocent of any charges they bring against me. And so God what? God protects me. If you do what God tells you to do, will he not take care of you? I believe he will. Daniel wrote this book to encourage us against those who would misuse us. And I do believe that he is telling us if we will do those things God wants us to do, we can be confident he's going to close the lion's mouth for you. He will protect you. Then was the king exceedingly glad and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den, no matter hurt was found on him, because he believed in God. Because he believed in God. And the king commanded Daniel's accusers to be brought. Wow. You know, that probably deterred anybody from bringing any accusations against Daniel again, don't you imagine? We don't read of anymore. In matter of fact, I can go on record to say, this action of God caused no one else in Daniel's life to bring an accusation against him. That was the last accusation against Daniel. The rest of the book, you won't see none. Why? Because their accusers was brought and into the lion's den. Not only them, but here's the sad part. When people disobey God, when people go away against God, it doesn't only harm them, it doesn't destroy them, it destroys their family. You take a husband who goes out and has children and he goes out and he does ungodly things, it doesn't only hurt him, it hurts his family. A wife, a child, to the parents, however you want to put that. That happened. Now, Darius wrote a decree that all nations were to reverence the God of Daniel. I'm not sure, but you remember I told you I thought that Nebuchadnezzar we might see in heaven. There's a good wording that he repented and looked to God. It's very possible, Darius here, in those last words saying here, whether he really did or whether he just commanded others to do, but I kind of have a feeling Darius really did similar to Nebuchadnezzar. Recognize, well, wouldn't that change about the hardest heart that you could imagine? If you threw Daniel in the lion's den, and you knew that those lions was hungry, they hadn't been fed. Hey, they was hungry. They ate the whole family. So, hey, they brought 120. It says they brought all these people that was guests, and they said the 120 that was selected and their families and throw them in there. And they would have just took Daniel in a split second if they were hungry, you know, if they were allowed to do. No, God protected them. God protected them. And so here is the fact that the decree went out for you to reverence this God. But what I wanted to say there is this. Wouldn't you think that action, boy, would turn, if he Darius' heart was hard, it sure would have softened it up, don't you imagine? I believe it did. He put a decree out and said, everyone is to reverence the God of Daniel. And I believe he meant it for himself. How about you this morning, Lord? Are you reverence the God of Daniel? If not, you can come. If you're fighting off the lions, you come. And God will close their mouths for you if you will receive him for that. Let's stand and sing the first verse of our invitation hymn. Wait, dear brother, oh, why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to give you come to him now. Why not? Why not? Why not come to Jesus now? Thank you, folks, for being in the Lord's house. It's always an encouragement week after week to see you here, to know that you're seeking the Lord's help in your life, and know that you're paying reverence to him and seeking him. Thank you for doing that. Before I go, I meant to say during our prayer announcement was that Keith's former boss, the guy that owned the company where he worked, had passed away, and he's laid out today in the visitation today and so forth. And 94 years old?
97.
Wow, that's great. And be in prayer for that family too. Keith worked a long time for them and no doubt had a good relationship with them. And so they pray for them. And as we leave this morning, may God bless you richly. And Brian, would you ask God's blessing on us, will you leave?
Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this gathering in this house of worship. We're glad we could come to you with thanksgiving and praise. We thank you for the beautiful weather. We thank you for the guidance. Pray that you'll give blessings and protection over those that are hurting and those that need healing and those that need comfort today. As we go about doing your will, guide us and guard us safely in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.